John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of our country, stated one time, "So great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens of their country and respectable members of society." He went on to say, "I have for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once every year." I want to speak to you today about daily Bible reading and why we need to make it a habit. George Muller, who established a lot of orphanages throughout England, has been recorded as saying, "I believe that the one chief reason that I have been kept happy, kept in happy, useful service, is that I have been a lover of the Holy Scripture. It has been my habit to read the Bible through 4 times a year. In a prayerful spirit, to apply it to my heart and practice what I find there. I have been for 69 years a happy man. Happy, happy, happy." Both of these men spoke about the habit of reading their Bibles. And this is a habit which a great number of people in the past have engaged in regularly. And a lot of people still do so today. But I'm afraid that if the truth were known, fewer and fewer people have developed the habit of reading their Bible on a daily basis. Many people have probably never read the New Testament through from beginning to end. And even fewer have never read the entire Old Testament. And yet, I agree with what Patrick Henry said. He said, "The Bible is worth more than all other books which have ever been printed." Charles Dickens, a great author in his own right, said, "The New Testament is the very best book that ever was or ever will be known in the world." So it's for this reason that I have one objective in this lesson and next week's lesson, Lord willing, is to encourage everyone to develop the habit of daily Bible reading. Now, to help motivate us in this point, I want to point out why it is so important to develop the habit of daily reading our Bibles. First of all, because it's the power of God's Word to save. James 1 and verse 21 said, "Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your souls." God's Word saves us by producing faith in us. Paul would write in Romans 10 and verse 17, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And the Hebrew writer tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24 that without faith in Him we cannot be saved. The word of God was written to produce that saving faith. In John 20, verses 30 and 31, we read, "Truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." A second reason is that God's word saves us by causing us to be born again. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, verses 22 and 23, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever." And Jesus stressed the very necessity of being born again when he spoke to Nicodemus in John 3, verses 3 through 5. Now, this rebirth involves water and spirit, and it comes when one has received this incorruptible seed of God's Word. In particular, the gospel. It's what we read about in 1 Peter 1, verses 23 through 25, and James 1, verse 18. Thirdly, it's because God's Word saves us by keeping us saved. We have recorded about Paul meeting with the Ephesian elders at Miletus in Acts chapter 20. And in verses 29 through 32, he says, "I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. You know, Paul frequently spoke of this value of God's word, especially about the Old Testament. That he spoke to the Corinthians about it in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11 through 12. And he spoke to the young preacher Timothy about it in 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 16. And yet it is the lack of God's word that has always destroyed the people of God. Hosea 4 and verse 6. A second point is, it's because of the power of God's word to comfort us. Paul says in Romans 15 and verse 4, "For whatever things were written before time were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." God's word comforts us through the hope that it gives. And Paul speaks of it in the context of the Old Testament here in Romans 15. And even it provides assurance of our hope because it tells how God always keeps his promises. Secondly, God's word comforts us through the happiness that it gives. The psalmist speaks in the first Psalm, verses 1 through 3, about the happiness that we have through the stability and nourishment that God's word provides. And we note that this happiness comes to the one who is engaged in daily Bible reading, and that's night and day. God's word comforts us through the peace that it gives also. It's what the psalmist again tells us in Psalm 119, verse 165. In Psalm 119, verses 92 and 93, we read that with such inner peace, nothing causes them to stumble. Robert E. Lee once said, "In all my perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength." You know, a lot more could be said about the value of God's word. But I want to stress another reason why everyone should develop a habit of reading their Bible on a daily basis. And that's because we are creatures of habit and time. As creatures of habit, we either have good habits or bad habits. If we have not developed the good habit of daily Bible reading, then we have developed the bad habit of not reading the Bible daily. Now, as creatures of time, we are subject to the limitations that time places on us. We live in a society where everybody snaps their fingers and they say, "Oh, I gotta have it now, you gotta do this now." And we are overloaded sometimes with everything that we need to do in an 8-hour day. And sometimes it's a 12-hour day. And yet, we are constrained by time. When, you know, James illustrated our time on earth as being brief, he says in James 4 and verse 14, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." We really have no promise of tomorrow. And yet, even as I sit here talking to you today, there's a calendar in front of me with things that I need to do. And everyone has that calendar in their life, where our lives are already filled with dictates, things that are dictating our time, telling us what we need to do, when we need to do it, and how long and how often. But yet, God just promises us today. So we need to become creatures of habit and good habits in reading our Bible daily and making the best use of our time. But you know, we're really creatures of both habit and time. If we've not developed the good habit of daily Bible reading, then our time on this earth is going to catch up with us one day. And we will have spent our lives on this earth not utilizing the benefits that have been provided by daily reading of God's word. Many of us are going to face God and we will have never read through His Word once. And He tells us in His Word that it is that very Bible that we fail to read, that we fail to develop the good habit of reading, and that we fail to use our time properly to read, that will judge us. That in the Book of Life. It's going to be a sad statement when we reach judgment and Christ condemns us to an eternity of hell because we've never read the Word of God. Now, I want to present this lesson because we all need to create good habits. We all need to make the best use of our habit. We're into a new year, we're 4 months in, and here we are, almost at the end of 4 months, and I'm wondering, have we done the best with our year so far? I would hate for this year to end and someone say, well, you know, I have not read the Bible at all. And as we go through this year, we need to purpose in our lives to read God's Word. And I'd like to encourage you to do that. It may be that you need someone to encourage you. You could join us at the Eastside Congregation, and we would be glad to work with you. We would be glad to study with you. You can look me up on Facebook, or you can follow us on the church's website. That's churchateastside.com. You can listen to this lesson or other lessons or sermons that we've recorded. You can read articles there that are there free for your reading. And if you have any questions about what's been said here today, again, if you want to challenge me on what's been said, bring your Bible. We will discuss it, but only if you have Scripture to back up your complaint or your disagreement. Again, we'll pick up this lesson next week and continue this same thought of daily Bible reading and trying to encourage people to get in the habit of reading our Bibles. I want to thank you for being with me this morning. If you'd like to join us this morning at the Eastside Congregation, we will have Bible classes at 9 a.m. for all ages. That's followed by worship service at 10 a.m. And then again this evening at 5 p.m. for another period of worship service. And we also meet each Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Bible study. If you are constrained because of illness or because of the virus still that's going around, feel free to Google our website and look up our live stream. You can watch our services and listen to the preaching and the Bible classes on the live stream if you're unable to be out. Again, I want to thank you for joining us, and I look forward to being with you again next Lord's Day morning.